Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
National Empowerment Radio presents Let's Talk with Dr. Wendy. Real issues, your community on Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for tuning in this evening. Man, I have received several emails from you asking about the shows, and there's been a gap in some of the shows, but I will tell you, I had to actually go and delete some of the shows due to some various technological challenges. So I appreciate you keeping your eye on me. Thank you. I just wanted to explain why some of the shows were first out there, maybe three of them, I believe, three or four. But something was going on, and we had the shows, and you couldn't hear any audio, so we had to go back and just delete them. So I wanted to explain why some of the shows were missing. So, again, I appreciate the messages that I received from you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, wow, it's almost the very next day. However, today's been a long day, and it is currently, what is today? I know this was tax week. Today is actually Thursday, April 17th. Wasn't it? Yeah, the 17th. And I also want to thank you for the topics that you've been sending me for the radio show as well. I've started over the last several months to receive an overwhelming response on various topics, so I want to thank you for that as well. Tonight is one of the various topics that I've received from a career development standpoint, and we're actually going to start running a series of these dealing with career coaching and development and things like that, because I'm finding that has my team has taken a look at all the topics and we've categorized them, and a lot of the topics have here recently dealt with coaching, development, and things like that. So you will start to see more of those topics over the next several months. Tonight, we are, I got somebody texting me asking me, where am I at? Where are you at? Well, tonight, I actually just recently left Houston, and now I am back in Illinois. So I'll be back in Houston in a couple of weeks. As a matter of fact, it's Easter weekend, so I will be in the Minnesota area this weekend. So these last of months, I've been I've been between Illinois, Milwaukee, Houston, and Chicago. I did say Illinois. Minnesota. No, let me take it. It's Houston, Illinois, Milwaukee. That's where I've been going back and forth. So I appreciate you asking me. Oh, another thing about the show tonight, some of you are new to the show, and I want you to know that this is it's a podcast, and I see that some people have actually texted me some questions for this evening. However, this is a internet radio show, and if at any point in time during the show you have a question, please feel free to call me. I don't stop the show at a certain point in time and ask questions. I take questions and comments as they come. My dial-in number is 347-326-9755. So let's get straight into tonight's topic. Well, as I mentioned, this is tonight's topic is all about coaching and development. And this particular topic has come up on a few occasions when I have talked to different people about different things. And it's just really interesting because there are times people don't think about it from a career perspective. However, from a leadership perspective and just an employee perspective, there is such thing as a high-maintenance employee. And this topic actually came up. I was at an event. We were talking about something. And this particular lady, she was managing this team, and she had said that I have a lot of high-maintenance employees. And then we started talking about the topic. So as I was listening to the dialogue, I just wanted to, that'd be a good topic. So tonight we are going to talk about what it takes or what what it takes not to be a high maintenance employee. So essentially, don't be the high maintenance employee is what we ended up talking about. So I had that dialogue with these ladies. There was a couple guys in there as well. And then it was interesting because I do career coaching and leadership strategies as well. And there were there was actually a lady that was putting an article together. And this particular article was in the Network Journal. And it I had a publicist of mine contact me. And she said, hey, I have this woman that is writing this article. And it was just by happenstance that the article is about high-maintenance employees. So I had these four questions, I answered them, and she ended up putting my information inside of the article. So that's actually published April 10th, and the title of the article is Don't Be the High-Maintenance Employee. So it's just really interesting how all of this has just come full circle. So just from a leadership perspective and as the employee, you have to be very mindful. Because one of the worst things that you want to be labeled in the workplace, or even when you have your own business, you don't want to be labeled as that high-maintenance person, whether it's that high-maintenance employee or the high-maintenance business owner. So what essentially happens when you are that high-maintenance employee or your high-maintenance business owner? Well, I'll tell you, in many cases, it can be very, very draining from a leadership perspective because it's not easy to manage these individuals. Because I'll tell you, I have been there and done that. I have managed several high-maintenance employees. Now, one of the things that came out of our conversation is that there are times that people don't even realize that they are high-maintenance employees, and that is what we want to focus on this evening and just talk about some things that you can do to avoid being labeled that high-maintenance employee. So here, as I mentioned, I got a lot of questions when I sent the message out. Some of you mentioned that you're not getting my message, messages when I send them out via contact. And I found, looking into that, that you can actually, I had some people that they were opting themselves out by mistake. So be mindful of that as well. When you're clicking around, because I've actually reached out to some people, I had to tell them that they had to go in order to get my messages. They had to opt themselves back in. So just FYI. If you are interested and would like to receive my messages, feel free to email me and let me know, and I'll add you to my list. So back here, I had someone just send me a message. That's what made me think of that. So like I was saying, there are many individuals that don't realize that they are high-maintenance employees or that they are high-maintenance business owners. So tonight, we are going to talk about just some of the things and some of the signs of a high-maintenance person. This is very interesting because right now I currently have a couple contracts and I go into environments, for lack of a better way of putting it, and I fix things. I break things down. I break various processes down, and I put things back together again, for lack of a better way of putting it. And I've just noted just some certain signs. And that's why I like this article that Ann Brown put together about don't be the high-maintenance employee, because it definitely clearly delineates the signs of a high-maintenance employee. So I just want to go over some of the things. I got some questions here and comments people sent me earlier today and got to share these with you a little later. Just the first thing that I've noticed, a couple signs here that, and I'm actually going to reference the article that she published because I completely agree with it. Not to mention I agree with it because I answered the questions. I will say that as well. One of the first things, just as an employee or a business owner, or if you're networking and you find that you meet some people and then things may not, from a networking standpoint, you start developing a relationship, and if you start noticing that your coworkers or people that were normally around you, they start to avoid you. That's the first sign. That's number one. Let's first talk about the coworker slash business associate avoiding you. That's a big one. That can be a sign that you are a high-maintenance person, being that there are just times that people just don't want all of the drama that goes along with that kind of personality. Now, how do you know that? Well, if you're just not invited to things and if you notice that you're being avoided, something's going on. And I'll tell you, I actually had a conversation with someone at one of my sites about this particular lady was concerned because she said, you know, my team, they avoid me, they don't want to work with me, and they don't, they're just not as inviting as some of them are with the others. And as I sat back and I listened, and this actually happened fairly recently, as I sit back and listen, it was interesting because she just could not see the forest through the trees in that they didn't want to be bothered with her because it was just always something. Whether she complained about something all the time or it was something that she didn't like or she didn't get along with people, you know, we all have our issues, but it becomes a certain point in time where people just don't want to be around that kind of energy. And when that occurs, you, opposed to always thinking that it's someone else, that's a time that you need to take a step back and look in the mirror and ask yourself, is there some things that you need to take a look at and start changing some things? So that's the first one. I want to deal with number one is when, I call it the avoidance factor. Again, the avoidance factor. When you notice that your coworkers or your business associates or others that you have developed a relationship with, if you've noted that all of a sudden they no longer want to be around you or they're starting to avoid you, that's number one. Number two, I think it's a really big one that's in the article. It notes that when you're always late. Now, I'm reading this exactly from the article. It states that you are considered, or some people consider you a high-maintenance person if you're always late, even to your own meetings. If you keep colleagues waiting for lunch and are not considerate of other people's time, that is really a big deal, being considerate of other people's time. This is basically, I can't put it in any other way, it's a passive-aggressive form of control. And I'll tell you, by you, again, number two is always being late. It's passive-aggressive, and it allows you to just keep that control because typically when people are in this situation, there are times where meetings can't get started because you're not there, or maybe you are part of the meeting, you have a piece of the puzzle, and in many instances, they may wait for you. So just simply being disrespectful and being late, I mean always late, is a problem. I know I've worked with individuals that when we start a meeting and that person's not there, it's pretty much the consensus that, Jamie's always late, or Janet's always late, or Cindy's always late. If you have that label, and I'll tell you, I had that label at one point in time, and I just was not considerate of other people's time. It's just my thing, my motto was at the time, the meeting will start when I get there. And that's not a good approach to take. So, again, number two, another sign that you are a high-maintenance individual is when you are always late. And always being late is just simply being disrespectful and inconsiderate of other people's time. Okay? That's number two. This is an interesting one here because I see this all the time, and it is, let me see here. I'm getting, before I go into that, I want to, a couple of comments here that I got. Let's see, and it relates to the first two things here. Let me go back. Just bear with me, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, always being late. Got a comment here. And another thing, when you send me comments, ladies and gentlemen, please give me your first name and what city you're actually calling, or what city you're calling me from, or what city you are sending an email from. And some of you, you know the drill, and some of you do not. So I just wanted to also state that, because I like tracking who listens to the shows and what's in my shows and what city. Okay, here's a comment here that I got from someone about always being late. This particular person here didn't give me the name or city, but they noted that they did not think that always being late to a meeting was inconsiderate and disrespectful. He or she notes that, bear with me as I read this, things do happen, and there are times people are called to meetings at the last minute and can't, and it's out of their control. Let me tell you this. If you have a scheduled meeting, or even if you have scheduled a meeting, number one, you should never be late to your own meeting, okay? That's number one. Number two, if you have scheduled your own meeting and something comes up, I understand extenuating circumstances happen sometimes, but extenuating circumstances do not happen all of the time. They just don't. And you really have to be mindful of that, because that's just from an imagery standpoint. If you have your own business, even if you're working for someone else, you just don't want that stigma that goes along with people saying he or she's always late. So whoever sent me this message, I completely do not agree with you at all in that if something comes up, I understand it may happen once in a while, but not all the time. Not every time you have a meeting, things are not going to come up. And I'll tell you this, if things do, then you just need to get back with that person, call that person back, or not take the call at all and wait until your meeting's over. It's a very simple process, okay? All right, that's the second. Let's see here. Another one that also stands out in my mind, number three, is drama is your middle name. Now, I'm sure many of you know exactly what I am talking about. And when I say this is one of the questions that I did answer about the particular article that Ann Brown wrote. It notes that bringing your personal drama to work, and when you talk about it for days, is an example of bringing your having and drama being your middle name. I have actually managed and consulted with some leaders that complained about some of their employees that were drama kings or drama queens, and they noted that it's always something. And I'm sure that all of us can attest to that we've either known someone where it's always something, or we have worked or done business with someone that it's always something. That, for many people, is considered drama, and it's just not to your best interest professionally, whether you have your own business or if you're working for someone else, to want to have that kind of stigma or imagery that goes along with your work and your reputation. Here it notes that one of the signs is bringing your own personal drama to work and talking about it for days is definitely a sign. And, you know, sure, it's okay. No one's saying that it's not okay to share certain aspects of your life with your business people, with your business colleagues and your coworkers. However, I will tell you, people do not, let me put emphasis on not, want to hear it over and over and over again, nor do they want to in a conversation hear some form of personal trauma. They just don't want to. You have individuals that want the business. They want the business conversation, and that's it. Some, it's okay to sprinkle in some personal information, but not so that it is dramatic all the time. You should be very mindful of that. With that said, my point being, point number three, another sign of a high-maintenance person is drama being your middle name, okay? Now, I'll tell you, there are certain people that I know that when I see them coming, oh, man, first thing, I'm rolling my eyes in the air. I turn my back. I roll my eyes in the air, and I will say, okay, I know it's going to be something again. Always. I'm sure we've all been there. Just make sure that you're not that person, okay? Number three. All right, next one. Oh, this is a big one. You're always looking for attention. I think that's a huge one. Let's see here. It notes here in this article, do you have an over-the-top personality or disposition, an inappropriate attire or appearance? The high-maintenance employer business owner wants to be seen all the time, draws attention to themselves by wearing inappropriate clothes, to appointments or in the workplace, and when it's stated inappropriate, that equates to wearing after five, tight clothing, loud colors, etc. Wears lots of jewelry and too much perfume. Not to mention, the person is also loud when they're on the phone. Really, people? Does it really, really, really take all that? Point number four. Attention seeker. You're looking for attention all of the time in some way, shape, or form, whether it's your over-the-top personality, your inappropriate attire or appearance. You essentially, when that occurs, the person is essentially doing different things to draw attention to themselves. And as I mentioned, that's just never a good thing. So point number four, attention seeker. Okay? Now, those are some of the things and some of the signs of a high-maintenance person. But you can change that perception by altering just a few things, okay? First thing is, and this is a big one, ladies and gentlemen, this is really, really huge. You need to pay close attention to your attitude. If your attitude is inappropriate in comparison to those around you, you need to immediately change it. You need to change it. And I'll tell you, for those of you asking me where the article is at, again, the article is in a publication called the New York Journal, the Network Journal. Sorry about that. The Network Journal. I hope I didn't say New York before. I need my glasses on. It's the Network Journal, and it is actually titled, Don't Be the High Maintenance Employee. Again, don't be the high-maintenance employee, and the author is Ann Brown, and it was published April 10th of this year, okay? Now, we just talked about some of the issues and some of the signs of a high-maintenance person. Now let's go and just talk about some of the things that can happen to alter that perception. I mentioned earlier, or just got done mentioning, you need to pay close attention to your attitude. In that, if you find, and I'm going to tell you, we know when our attitude is inappropriate in comparison to others, you can feel it, okay? If you feel that, you know you need to take a step back and do some self-assessing and change it, okay? All right. The next thing is get some help. I say that because many of us, we have a degree, and we have years of experience, and we have all these other things going on. However, ladies and gentlemen, it's okay to ask for help. And when you find yourself in that position, in that you need to make a shift from a personality standpoint, and when you've identified that you are that high-maintenance employee, I recommend you get a mentor, okay? Obtain a mentor. Seek a seasoned mentor, one that is able to keep you on your toes, make you aware of your strengths and weaknesses, I should say, strengths and shortcomings, and tell you what you need to do to overcome any challenges. That's what you need to do. You've got to partner up with someone. You have to obtain a mentor, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to have your best interest at heart. Okay? Now, I say that because I have been involved with various mentoring programs, and I've seen companies sign, they just take a list of, they take a list of the upper-level managers, and they take a list of individuals that they foresee as being the up-and-coming employees, and they partner them up. These two people don't know each other, and then it just turns into this mechanical meeting when, and in the end, the employee that is looking for a mentor doesn't really get anything out of it because it just has turned into another task for one of the managers to complete, and it just ends up, it's just a no-win situation. So I recommend that you obtain your own mentor. And again, this is just simply a way of taking a step back, doing some self-assessing, and identifying that you have some challenges and you need some assistance, and a mentor can assist you with that. Okay? So that's the second thing that you can do to assist with changing that high maintenance perception. Okay? Next thing is having, now earlier I talked about paying close attention to your attitude. One thing that, and these two work hand in hand, in that once you identify that you have some attitude challenges, you need to start making a shift and start having a positive attitude. And That's very critical, because your attitude will determine who and what you attract in life. And this is also coming straight from the article. There's another individual that was quoted in the article as well. Her name is Anita Johnson, and she's absolutely correct. She notes that, again, your attitude will determine who and what you attract in life. It will always determine your career altitude, okay? Career altitude, very, very, very important tip, okay? Next thing is, it's also very important to maintain an open mind. Don't pass judgment right away. You may be smart, but chances are you don't know everything. Limit judgment, criticism, and negative comments regarding things you may not be comfortable with or approve of. Your opinion and view is just one of many, okay? Again, this information is coming straight from this article. You know, and I love things like this because I've done career coaching and been a leadership strategist for years, and that's why I'm really excited about just some of the topics that many of you sent, because it helps you develop from a business standpoint and from a career perspective as well. So I'm really, really, really excited about making this transition, or partly, I should say, adding another aspect to our show. Okay? Again, number four is maintaining an open mind. Last but not least, in this particular article, and this is another comment that was made by Anita Johnson, and I also agree with her, is being a team player and understanding the importance of collaborating and being a team player and understanding how to be a team player. She references here that, if everyone knows the acronym, together everyone accomplishes or achieves more. We've all heard that before. However, you as a business owner and an employee, whether you work for yourself or you work for someone else, you have to understand how to do that. And I'll tell you, over the years that I have consulted and worked for others, I've found that a good percentage of people do not understand how to be a team player. There is more to being on a team, and showing up to meetings does not equate to being a team member, okay? Being a team member essentially means that you were willing to get your hands dirty, okay? And I have to give an example of that. Here fairly recently, I went into an organization in Illinois, and I had to go in from a compliance standpoint and fix some things. Well, there was this big project, and interestingly enough, this particular team thought that myself and maybe two or three others who were going to complete this task, huge project. This thing, as the team lead that I did, I pulled everyone in, and we all worked cohesively as a team on this particular project, opposed to the team just taking a back seat and maybe doing some smaller things. No, that's not how we handled it. And I took that approach because I could just tell when I went in that they had been operating in silos for some time and that something needed to happen so that they can start bonding and coming together. And that project went on for several months, and it was just really interesting to see how the evolution, see how things just evolved, I'll say, from the time we started it to maybe 4 or 5 months later, because this was a very extensive project that we had to work on, and just see how things had changed with them from a working perspective. So it's really, really important for you not only to understand the importance of being a team member, but you need to know how to and what it takes to be an effective team member as well, okay? Oh, man, ladies and gentlemen, that was a lot of information. But like I said, career coaching, career development, anything that is going to, and that's what our show is all about. It's all about self-help and improvement. That's what we want to do, and that's what we strive here on Let's Talk with Dr. Wendy. And it's this particular topic here will, if you take this information seriously, and you make a concerted effort to be mindful of being that high-maintenance person, in the end, as we mentioned earlier, as I mentioned earlier, you will notice that a different kind of person will start to gravitate to you if you're not perceived as being this high-maintenance individual, okay? So, man, that was a lot of information in a that we just went over in this amount of time this evening. I know I got people sending me messages. What about my question? What about my question? I don't have a lot of time this evening to go over that, but we are going to have another topic. There's a part two to this also that I'm going to facilitate. And there's a lady that actually has a book, and I'm going to bring her on. And I always archive all my questions and comments. And for those of you that sent me information for this evening, I'm going to table those questions, and then I will ask those exact same questions when we do part two to this particular point. Now, keep in mind, someone just noted here, it's great that you not only talk about the issues but come up with solutions as well. Appreciate that comment from you because that's what we're all about. We don't want to get on the air and just talk about things and be negative. We want to address some issues and then come in with a solution as well because, again, as I mentioned earlier, it's all about self-help and empowerment and keeping the community informed. That's something that we also strive to do as well. So, with that said, ladies and gentlemen, man, I had to get these shows back in order again because, as I mentioned earlier, we had some technological challenges that had occurred over a few weeks and times, and it looks as if we've gotten things straightened out. So I have to say I have to thank you again. We are at 100,000 listeners. I think it's 100,166, I believe we're at, or 100,300 or something like that. Nonetheless, ladies and gents, we would not be in this position if it was not for you, okay? And I say that because you're the one that is, you're giving us the programming, and we're looking to make sure that we deliver the information to you that you are asking for. So with that said, ladies and gentlemen, we're calling it a night tonight. Please tune in next week because we have another career management topic. If it's not next week, it will be the week after. We received so many comments regarding career management, professional development, and different things like that, that you're either asking for an attorney on a will in a state, things like that. We're also going to have, those are some of the topics that commercial real estate. That was another common thread as well. I have an expert that I'm going to bring on, and he's going to educate you on the basics of commercial real estate and how to invest in what you need to do so that you can increase your worth when you do get into commercial real estate. So that was a common thread as well. Nonetheless, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we talked about several things that's observed when you are or have been identified as being a high-maintenance employee or high-maintenance business owner. Then we also talked about gave you some recommendations on what you can do to dispel that image, because that is just one that, just as an employee, as a business owner, or just as a person, you do not want to be identified and categorized as a high-maintenance person. I will tell you, on the receiving end, it's very exhausting for someone to deal with that, and it can come across as being very negative. And I'll tell you, just from the feedback that I've received on average, people don't want to be around that. And if that is you, you need to do something about it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to close it off for tonight. Please tune in next week because, again, we're going to definitely start delivering the topics that you're asking for immediately. I know I received some comments from you saying, you know, I sent you this topic a couple weeks ago. We're going to start addressing. The thing that we're doing differently, I'll tell you, at one point we were just collecting the topics. Now we're, I mean, this may sound just so simple, but we weren't doing this before, and this is what we're going to do now. We're going to date the topic so that we actually deliver the information when we receive them. So I apologize to anyone if we didn't get a chance to deliver your topic, if we find that it's program worthy. Let me say that, because we have received some topics that is not in line with our mission and vision, and it's not, we don't consider it program worthy. Let me say that, because we just don't, we will not deliver just any topic. It has to be in line with our mission and our vision, and it has to be program worthy. I do want to make that caveat. So, oh my gosh, oh my goodness, my goodness. This is Easter weekend, ladies and gentlemen. I do want to acknowledge that. I want to definitely wish that you have a safe Easter weekend, and those of you that are traveling, because I know I will be traveling this particular weekend. Please be mindful of that. And again, as I mentioned, tune in next week because we will, as always, but before I say that, I want you to always to do one thing. Always keep your eyes, I love this phrase, keep your eyes on the prize, and tune in next week, ladies and gentlemen, for another thought-provoking topic. Good night.
Thank you for tuning in to Let's Talk with Dr. Wendy. Tune in next week for another thought-provoking topic.